You're listening to Songs Out Loud from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm Aaron Dorr. Lobby Boxer has two guitarists now. The addition of Jack Catalinato changed the writing process for the band's latest album. The songs On Head, Shoulders, Knuckles, Floor represent the new way forward. For this episode, the band gave me instrument and vocal multitrack files from the recording session at Bird Cloud Studios in Collinsville, engineered by Ryan Wasaba. They also gave me the original demo of the song, recorded by Eric Hudson of Foxing. I talked with the band last month over remote connection. Songs Out Loud breaks it down, instrument by instrument, lyric by lyric, and beat by beat.
Hi, my name's Andrew Gurney. I play bass and do strange noises in Lobby Boxer.
Hi, my name's Zach Fendelman. I sing and play guitar in Lobby Boxer, and I mixed our new record, Head, Shoulders, Knuckles, Floor.
Hi, my name is Max Sansa. I play drums and wrap cables for Lobby Boxer.
Hey, I'm Jack Catalinato. I play guitar, I sing, and I write some lyrics for Lobby Boxer.
So, yeah, the song is actually one of the oldest ones on the album. We've been playing it live since, like, 2019, and it's gone through a huge metamorphosis. The title concept came from, we just went on one of those, like, word generator websites.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
How often do you guys do that?
That was, like, the only time we ever did it. Yeah, we did that, and we were just, you know, screwing around, and somehow Stain Helicopter popped up, and we just, for some reason, we thought it was so funny. We were just laughing about it, and we're like, well, we gotta write a song called Stain Helicopter. I had brought this riff into the practice space. I was kind of into yacht rock at the time, but it was also the band Palm. A lot of this, like, higher up on the guitar neck chords that are, like, sort of, like, minimalistic and repeating over and over and over again. So it was kind of a mishmash of those two things.
I was listening to, like, a criminal amount of Mars Volta, like, early stuff. So, like, a lot of my playing was very frenetic and, like, all right, let's see where we can put the snare that makes a little bit of sense, like, enough sense to get by, whereas this was like, okay, we're counting to four and we're getting the point across.
Yeah, we're not just going crazy and, like, and playing way more notes. Now I'm, like, really starting to learn what it feels like to lock in with Max on a groove and really, like, pay attention to the kick pattern. What is he playing? How is that going to inform the bass line that I'm writing?
This was way more of a exercise and, like, kind of being reserved and trying to explore, like, actually being musical. Kind of like, okay, how can two of us be doing one thing and the other two be doing something else? Whereas before it was more like, okay, how can we all do the same weird thing?
We used to practice completely instrumentally.
Yeah.
And we would write that way too. So we would kind of write without vocals even as a thought. So it's just like, cool, well, let's make the instrumental as fun as possible and then think about how it's all going to work together after the fact. In that era of our band, before Jack joined, we were already thinking about kind of what our band could possibly sound like with an extra person in it.
Yeah.
Also, with a lot of our live sound and other songs we had been writing with Eugene's preference, we use a lot of pedals, and it was kind of part of what we took pride in was creating a really big and like rich sound with just three people. And so there often was a lot of like pedal effects that we would bring in to try and like fill out the sound.
Yeah, this is Zach again. Eugene's preference was really kind of that was kind of when we went all in on pedal experimentation and just trying, you know, I really wanted to make my guitar not sound like a guitar and just try all these new things. I didn't want to play power chords. I wanted to, you know.
I love how guitarists never want their guitars to sound like guitars.
What is
you know,
with that?
The funny thing is I've kind of gone back on it, especially now that Jack is in the band and he can play leads and I get to like play power chords and, you know, hang out a little bit. It's much more fun. But, you know, when we're a three piece, it kind of felt like I needed to do something to make my guitar parts sound interesting since there's only one and there's not like a lead rhythm like relationship happening.
A lot of my time in the band has been kind of like taking them at their word that like there's a lot of space here that like we want you to fill this shit, like cook, and like we'll be mad at you if you don't cook.
Something interesting, and when I think about terrifying a band when we started writing Stay in Helicopter, is that I was always playing a fretless bass, which looking at some live videos I'm like, oh my god, that is crazy. But it was crazy because I was sometimes also wilding out and playing a fretless bass. So sometimes I think about how it was the intonation gets scary sometimes, even if you're not wilding out or whatever. But so the intro.
Wait, what is the term? Have I heard the term wilding out?
Or just like.
Maybe I haven't. Like just going crazy.
Yeah, not just like standing there, so. I guess. But.
Yeah.
But.
Sorry, Jack, if I could chime in on that, Jack here. Did you watch Wildin' Out? Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out on MTV.
Yo, it's Wildin' Out starring Nick Cannon. With special guest no.
It was like a.
What era?
This was early 2000s. It was like a comedy game show kind of thing. Like Cat Williams was a frequent guest.
I remember
on
that
there.
Show.
Welcome back to a very special episode of Wildin' Out. It's the return of Cat Williams. We got the go in the building.
Yeah. So
they have like hip hop performances and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
I love rap battles.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, I can return just to this thought really quick.
If you want, I guess.
Well, I was really thinking about Nick Cannon when I... No. Okay. But I was playing a fretless bass, and there's like little... That lead sound a little bit at the beginning is from my fretless bass. And to get those kind of like... I'm bad with knowing the classical music terms these days, but like...
Like a portamento.
A portamento going from one note to the next. And so on the studio recording, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep that. So I'm going to play my fretless bass here. And I use this Mark bass octave synth pedal that is super weird and no one uses or likes, but is like permanently ingrained into my sound just because, well, no one has been like, that sounded ass, but people see it and they're like, what the heck? You know, like, it's not super great because you have to go into the computer to change the specifics. But once you have those like sounds set out, it's just like, I don't have to think. I just change between the presets. I'll just add, I bought a Boss octave pedal to try and be like, okay, maybe I should dial it in. And I made the Boss sound just like my Mark bass did. And I was like, oh, well, I don't even want to use this Boss pedal. A big part of writing the song was Zach's guitar part. He would use his DD5 pedal. and get this like stutter and leave it on the whole verse.
Yeah, so Zach is freezing the F sharp, like it's like a repeated delay. And my thing is more of a melody line, like da 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 da, but with that really fucked up reverse delay.
I want to add, Zach and I specifically have had a good little pedal trading history, where we've turned on each other onto certain pedals. Like I have a fantasy of owning a drawer full of Boss digital delay pedals, and so the DD3 being my initial favorite, and then I bought a DD5 and a DD6, and I still use the DD3 and DD6, but the DD5 I bought, I was like, this is a little excessive, and I gave it to Zach. This is about as egregious as it gets. Zach, what is the name of that pedal?
Oh, it's the Copilot Anchorman. Copilot Effects Anchorman.
Yeah, so Zach found the Copilot Effects Anchorman pedal one random night and just bought it and sent it to me.
Yeah, well, I was looking for a... So I'm big into synthesizers, and I was looking for a pedal that does like basically what an LFO does with a filter, where you can set the like you know tempo and all that stuff. And I came across this website, Copilot Effects, that had similar things, not exactly what I was looking for, but I saw this pedal that tuned into the radio, and I was like, this just screams Andrew. So I just bought it right away and surprised him with it. Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah, so we do use it live in different ways. It's on my pedal boards, but in the studio, I'm playing the Anchorman into the EHX Memory Man with Hazari. So there's been a few things like that where we've just like gotten each other onto certain pedals.
I think it's more fun to be gifted something and like play around with it than to like obsess over it and think you're going to do all this stuff with something that you've done research on and then just like leave it to collect dust.
Yeah.
Well, Max, maybe I'll buy you some sticks or something. I don't know. I feel bad. You're getting left out of all the cool shit.
It's all good. I'm also like the sound guy of the band. Like, I don't mix us, but like we have in-ears and all that kind of shit. So it's like I got enough microphones to basically be my pedals.
And so I would be like scanning radio frequencies, and you'll get these little blips of a voice or a sound amongst radio static. We really kind of weren't sure what that part of the song should be.
I initially didn't even really want that section in there. I wanted the song to be just a straight pop song, you know, to the point, nothing too out of the ordinary other than, you know, our usual out of the ordinary. And throwing that bridge in there, I really did not like that section for a long time. But now I love it, you know, especially because of what Jack brings to it with the guitar solo as the kind of climax of that section.
Jack's been in the band over 4 years now, but the pandemic, you know, and then the struggles of recording a full-length album, it's finally, we're at that point. Here's our album. Where's the four of us all together? We can point towards that now.
Yeah.
And I just want to make clear how integral Jack has been in that process and us just as a band, as a quartet.
At least personally for me, my biggest goal with this album was for it to be a new baseline for us to show people, this is where we're at, this is where we're going, this is current, this is what we're up to.
I would even argue that this is kind of like, we've been a band for 11 years, but I think this is the first release where we all are on the same page. We're just like, this is the band. This is what we sound like. if we show this to anybody, like, we will unanimously, all four of us, be 100% satisfied with putting that forward as, like, this is who we are, and you're goddamn right.
I think this is the first time that we've all agreed on everything about every song. Mm-hmm. And just like the general direction of like the type of music that we wanted to play. There wasn't like a, you know, one person's agenda kind of overtaking everything, that one person usually being me. And it was definitely a lot more egalitarian in how we collaborated with each other. And since we listened to such like wildly different music, like none of us really listened to the same types of music. So there was a lot of like fun exploration in meeting in the middle and trying to learn where our common ground was between the four of us.
I'm hugely grateful. Like, I love these fucking guys. I love our music. It's all just so exciting and fulfilling. I've known these guys for a long time, and I've been, you know, I was a fan before Zach hit me up.
Here we are back at the original demo.
So in that chorus, I go up like, favorite jumping out of a stain. I used to do that live.
And I would sing the lower part oftentimes, but it wasn't really as harmonized.
Yeah. I actually wound up changing that vocal melody to something a bit more compressed, because I kept reaching for that note live and I was just straining and it really wasn't working. It wasn't working, so I just changed it up a little bit.
Jack here, the part that I'm singing on the current version of Stain is the same as Zach's initial like upper harmony part, but down an octave. Jumping out of a stain, helicopter,
helicopter. I'm hyper anal about the first word slash line of every song, and I always felt sort of weird about that first line. It just never hit me right. And then we went and recorded it with Ryan Wasuba. And so, like, I think the night before I recorded the vocals, I changed that first line. It happens every time we record.
Yeah.
Labby Boxer plays their album release show at Off-Broadway this Saturday. Spread the word.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having us.
This has been great.
And now the song Stain Helicopter. In its entirety. Or you can just go find the new album somewhere and give the whole thing a listen.
Show it to people. Like, share it. We don't want your money. We don't want you to wear our name. We want you to listen to the music. And we want you to share it with people.
Yeah, like, show it to your blues rock dad. Show it to your emo cousin. Rock cousin too, like boat shoes, Vans, like whatever you wear. We got something for you, I think.
Countdown to the This has been a Songs Out Loud production.